We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jesse Lauders, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Richard Fowler, Dana Perino, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five. Sleepy Joe taking another nosedive in the polls, and Kamala's getting way too close for comfort with Drew Barrymore. Things are going off the rails at the White House again. Joe Biden was riding pretty high after being the toast of the town in Washington at the White House Correspondents' Dinner on Saturday, where the event's comedian called him decent. And Joe got to give the left-wing press their marching orders. Listen.
I'm sincerely not asking of you to take sides, but asking you to rise up to the seriousness of the moment. Every single one of us has a role to play, a serious role to play, in making sure democracy endures, American democracy. I have more of my role, but with all due respect, so do you.
Then he woke up Sunday morning and got smacked with a hard dose of reality from left-wing CNN, of all places. Their brand-new survey shows Trump taking his biggest lead yet ever over Joe Biden. And it also says that most Americans find President Biden's term to be a total failure. The White House is sending Kamala out to do some damage control and hype up the economy. The Veep also doing another round of interviews and getting close on a couch with Drew Barrymore. Kamala suggests that people who mock or laugh are sexist.
You were asking me earlier about what it means to be, like, the first woman. And, you know, it's funny because people still got to get used to this, right? I mean, my staff, for example, sometimes they'll show me little things that just amuse me. Like, apparently, some people love to talk about the way I laugh.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I love your laugh.
Well, let me just tell you something. I have my mother's laugh. Oh. And I grew up around a bunch of women in particular who laughed from the belly. Yeah. You know, I'm never going to be... That's just... I'm not that person.
And then things got really weird.
We all need a mom. I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
Yeah. Greg Mamala, do you think that's what...
This is the new set for Gutfeld.
That is the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
That's
and I've seen a lot of creepy things. I'm sorry, you were going to ask me something.
I don't know if Kamala, Mamala, that'll stick.
Yeah, I think that's sexist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like, oh, so they say if you talk about her laugh, that's sexist. By the way, it's not about Kamala's laugh. It's when it occurs.
Yes.
Right.
Whenever someone laughs at an inappropriate moment, like when nothing that merit laughters came before it,
right.
It's a sign of a kind of an uncentered goofball. It's a sign that, I mean... If she was like laughing at an Instagram reel of a Frenchie in a bikini, I get it. But she laughs when people say, how are you? Mm-hmm. Or goodbye. That's not well. I had a coworker once that giggled all the time. We stayed away from her. Okay, back to the sexist claim. That in itself is sexist because we wouldn't find a man nervously chortling all the time as appealing either. Actually, we would probably be harsher on him. Because, you know, we're allowed to be, you know, we'd get them away from the sharp objects. If anything, it's because she's a woman that she's allowed this lightweight status to giggle all the time. And that to me is sexist. Look, those polls, those poll numbers for Joe, they're deader than Kristi Noem's dog. He should be worried because he is looking like old Yeller. And that speech at the dinner, he was basically telling the press to do his job, not to do theirs. And those data points were from CNN and CBS saying that Joe's getting crushed. That's like Hostess Cupcakes telling you frosting gives you cancer. You know, these are no longer outliers, even though they may be liars. But these polls tell you everything about 2024. Trump is looking like he's America's choice for president, which is the reason for the lawfare. Do you want election interference, it's in your face. Knowing Biden is a dead dog and that Trump looks like he's going to win, their only strategy is to remove him through the courtroom or at least brand him as a felon and hope that that makes voters think twice. They haven't lied about that, by the way. They've said it. So I don't know. If you're a never Trumper, I don't know how you can be OK with this. You can hate Trump all you want, but you don't want to fight fair. I mean, you're worse. You should be ashamed of yourself.
So, Janine, Biden's down 6 in a CNN poll, and he's begging the press to help him out even more. What else could they possibly do?
They can't do anything else for him. But you know what I think is so significant about that poll is that in the CNN poll, Trump is up 1 point among women. All right. And for all the talk about abortion and women's rights and, you know, the libs and E.G. Carroll and Stormy Daniels, more women want Trump than they want Biden. To me, that was the most significant part of this. And I think that that will only increase. And I think, you know, I don't want to talk about Kamala and her laughing because I think it's, you know, it's just ridiculous. I think she's ridiculous. She was a diversity hire. And, you know, they say it's sexism if you claim, you know, if you make fun of me because of my laugh. Well, you were a diversity hire based upon your sex and other things. So let's be straight about that. But more important than that is that the left thought that by locking down Donald Trump in a courtroom in downtown Manhattan, that everybody would literally forget about him. But the truth is what he's done both before and after the trial, whether it's in Harlem or Midtown Manhattan or just having a quick presser. I think Americans are seeing not so much a guy who's being, you know, targeted by the left, but a man who can withstand pressure. He knows how to survive. He knows how to fight for America no matter what it takes. And that woman and that old guy, meaning Joe Biden, they just can't do anything else to him. And Trump is going to win. I think it's that simple.
Trump's going to win. You heard it there, Richard.
Listen, I'm not a psychic or a tarot card reader, so I don't know who's going to win. I think that's up to the American people. I do think this. If you rewind the clock and you take us back to 2016, those polls would have had Hillary Clinton up by 6 or 7 points, and she lost. So I think it's important to remember that polls are snapshots in time. And at this moment, it's probably likely that Trump's ahead because if you look at our news coverage overall of last week and the week before that, we were covering Donald Trump and the Trump trials, no matter what channel you were watching. With that being said, I think you've heard a lot of folks over this week say, you know, this trial is benefiting Trump. I think where it is because the media consistently talks about him. But where it's hurting him is that he's not able to fundraise. He's not able to be on the campaign trail. He's not able to lay out how he wants to fix many of the issues affecting the American people. And a recent Harvard IOC poll found that the top issues for young voters aged 30 to 18 was housing, health care, gun violence, and inflation. Four big issues where we haven't heard a very, very clear message on what exactly Trump wants to do to fix it. Don't get me wrong. I think we need to have a sharper message from the sitting president on what that needs to be. But at least he has policy positions to point to on what I'm trying to do on gun violence. Here's what I'm trying to do on housing. Here's what I'm doing on health care to ensure that women have access to reproductive health. And with that being said, I was at the dinner last night, and one of the jokes talking about Kamala Harris that was actually very funny, or Saturday night, was, you know, at least the current president has the endorsement of his vice president. Donald Trump does not have the endorsement of his vice president.
That was one of the better lines. Dana, you don't go to those dinners too much anymore.
I haven't been. I went many years in a row, and now I think it's other people's turn to get to go to the dinner. No, I didn't go. I heard it wasn't great, though. I mean, great to see everybody. But the comedian wasn't very funny, and that's usually how it is. It's frustrating to me always because it's supposed to also focus on these young people who are getting scholarships, and nobody ever listens to that portion of the program, and it drives me crazy. One of the things they did is they said, we have to figure out a way to get Kamala Harris out there to help us with these economic numbers, and it is Small Business Week. So they came up with the Economic Opportunity Tour, and she's going to go out there and do interviews with Drew Barrymore. All right. Now, does that going to help her with the women's vote? Maybe they think that. But I think that the issue is that women are going to the grocery store every day. They're the ones trying to figure out how to make ends meet. There are more women now making more than men in the households. So women are very well aware of how bad the economy is. And this week alone, this is what Biden is doing during Small Business Week. That's what they call it. They are banning non-competes, expanding overtime rules for the Labor Department, ending coal, wanting to ration electricity. They are ending the Trump tax cuts. That's what they came out with. And They also want to do more on student loans. And in that CNN poll, he was upside down on student loans as well. So people don't think that that's fair. And I don't think that she's going to win a lot of hearts and minds. I think it's fine to go on Drew Barrymore's show. It's great to do Howard Stern, but they have got to figure out a way to be a little bit more risk taking in order to get some gains here. All of those things that I just mentioned are not going to improve the economy by next November. In fact, they'll probably make it worse.
Right. So she should go on Gutfeld exclamation.
Definitely. You know,
the riskiest show ever.
It is. The point about the women thing, it's married women who are going more for Trump. Biden is right. Still gets the single women. Yeah. And, you know, you can read into that however you say.
I think we know what he means. Up next, pro-Hamas brats defying a deadline to decamp and demanding amnesty for setting up their terror tents.
Terror people.
Brought them to our land. An endless night, ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
America's colleges bracing for a new week of pro-Hamas anarchy as the terror-sympathizing students demand amnesty for their Jew-hating antics. Columbia says they are now suspending students after the campers openly defied the campus deadline of 2 p.m. Eastern to clear out their tents or face suspension. Instead, they circle the campus, chanting their usual anti-Semitic slogans.
Just because they're not getting the police to arrest us doesn't mean that, you know, like, our demands are met. So that's why we feel the need to continue to protest. And this camp symbolizes, like, the every start of the student encampment, like, around the United States and also, like, in the wider part of the world. So we feel the need to protect this encampment and also, yeah, just...
And what's your name?
Sorry, I can't say.
Yeah, of course. But Texas took the opposite approach, police dragging out pro-Hamas agitators one by one and breaking up a protest at the University of Texas in Austin. Cops flooding the zone, tearing down barriers and arresting the protesters. And now the brats and their teachers are calling on their schools to grant them amnesty. Okay, I'll start with you, Jesse. It's interesting. Apparently, Columbia University made several offers, and they said that they would give more scholarships to the pro-Gaza crowd and that they would review the Tel Aviv dual degree program. Why is it so difficult for them to take action in Columbia when all across the country, hundreds of kids are getting arrested?
No one takes action. Look at the law enforcement. Look at all the colleges. Look at the country. Everybody sets deadlines and they say there's going to be a consequence and no one ever enforces anything.
Yep.
I mean, you don't have a law because you don't enforce the law. That means the law doesn't exist. Same thing here. I tell Jesse Jr., Paw Patrol goes off at 10. At 10, when it rolls around, and if he's still watching Paw Patrol, we don't negotiate. Paw Patrol goes off. If he starts saying, oh, 10 more minutes, and all of a sudden it's 11:30, hour and a half extra of Paw Patrol, he runs me. And Jesse Jr. does not run me. I run Jesse Jr. And that, look at Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden was never told no. He was never given any consequence. And look at him. He's like 54, and he's an absolute mess. Same thing with these students. I spoke to my parents what they did during the Vietnam era, during the civil rights era, when they were in college in the late 60s. They invited guest speakers. They had candlelit marches. They had teach-ins. They had sit-ins. They had vigils.
Commies.
They actually went to the trustees of the university and said, you guys need to uphold your mission. They had actual discussions. They didn't have a caliphate in the Quad. and intimidate Jewish students who are a religious minority from going to class. There's now outside agitators outside the campus. It's creating an unsafe environment. It's insanity what's going on. And what's it? 3 hours past the deadline?
Yeah. Well, Greg, in light of that, 2 o'clock, they were supposed to, you know, disperse and tear down the tents. And the president says 6 o'clock, I'm going to give a press conference. They're not doing anything. Why is Manoush Shafiq, the president of Columbia, so reluctant? And by the way, she has to invite the police on campus because they have campus police. So NYPD can't just go on that campus without an invite.
Well, I mean, they're like, they are, in a way, like absentee parents. You know, I watch this stuff and I wonder who is taking this seriously besides the protesters. Most people look at this, and I think, Richard, you said it on Friday, people aren't even caring about this. And it's, to me, it is like a tantrum throwing child at a supermarket, and the parent is not disciplining the brat, and meanwhile the supermarket staff is encouraging and amplifying the tantrum, right? It's almost like they're rewarding bad behavior rather than good. Gerald Posner is a great writer. He put it succinctly, and I shall quote him. Influence of a radicalized faculty sets the framework by which students feel not only empowered, but sanctioned by those in authority, which is why I think we should celebrate this monster turning on its creator. It's idiot on idiot action with this. When these kids are coming out against the school, let everyone see this and let the parents then decide better schools, better discipline, better control, because this is garbage. You're paying 90 grand for this. You got it. You're a sucker.
You know, Dana, you reacted when the woman in the keffiyeh wouldn't give her name. I mean, I wonder how many are students. Not that that matters at this point. But why, if they're so pro-Hamas and Palestine, why not say it proudly?
They have been making demands for amnesty.
Yeah.
So that their arrests aren't put on their permanent records. They are worried about their futures and their jobs. And I think that one of the reasons you go to college is so that you can continue to mature and so that you can be prepared for those first jobs. Well, now they hear from so many employers saying, I would never hire them.
Oh, yeah.
And even if it's not on their permanent record, it's on your Instagram. And believe me, it will all get around. They will know. One of the things that I find terrifying in a way is that in the last few weeks, there's been a 10% decline in the number of people who believe that Hamas is responsible for October 7th. And where is that coming from? Well, if you look at the numbers, it's come specifically from Democrats in particular. So there's that issue. And also for these students, when you start defacing the founding fathers, you're tearing down American flags, you're occupying the quad, you won't move forward, it makes all of your arguments fall apart. And we're in the middle of Joe Biden asking all of us taxpayers to pay for these student loans. Like, you've got to be kidding me. I mentioned it in the A block. There's absolutely no way that people are going to go for that. The last thing I want to say is that what they say they want now is divestment from anything that supports Israel. Okay, first of all, it's impossible. Secondly, it's not going to happen. Third, do you really think that's where their demands stop? And have they ever demanded that Hamas release the hostages? It'd be really interesting. Somebody covering their face in one of the masks, dressing like Hamas, would say, oh, and Hamas, you should really release the hostages. They don't do that.
Yep. They don't seem to care. In fact, the protesters are now suing Columbia University, saying that they don't feel safe on campus, that she might call the police at any minute. Richard?
I mean, that's unfortunate. I do think this. I think there's a clear, bright line between protesting and demanding disinvestment, whether it's going to happen or not, or even pushing for a ceasefire. I think that is the First Amendment. And I think there's a clear, bright line between that and being anti-Semitic or being Islamophobic. That's hate speech, and that's not protected by the U.S. Constitution. It's worth pointing out, I think Jesse pointed to this, that protesting, though, is American as American pie, whether it's the Vietnam War, which started on college campuses, whether it was students protesting the apartheid government in South Africa, where they also called on universities to divest from South Africa or the apartheid government there, whether it was the Gina 6 protest in universities, the global movement against after the murder of George Floyd. It spans party, it spans presidencies, it spans whoever's in Congress. You oftentimes see students protest. Now, my problem with this particular protest is how the media is playing it out, right? Whether it's in Columbia, whether it's at GW, whether it's at UT Austin, where there's about 60 students there. These campuses are huge, and there are thousands of students who are taking their finals. And when you zero in on just a couple of students, and you don't zoom out to the rest of the campus who are doing something else, you make it seem as though the entirety of the campus has this particular viewpoint. Whether they do or they don't, they're not disrupting the school. And the recent Harvard poll I referred to last segment.
They are disrupting.
No. I said I'm talking about the entirety of the university.
There's, right. But they're very. It's a minority that is disrupting.
I agree with you there.
And also, but they're all paying for it.
No,
if you can't have graduation.
I agree. I agree on all of these
things. Then they're all having to pay for it.
My point is, when the media just focuses on this small minority and not everybody else, that's they're doing that a disservice.
I think the media is focusing also on the administrations of these universities who are totally spineless. Like, I don't know if an academic should be the leader of a university if they can't figure out a way that you can't negotiate for 6 days with students. I mean, they can't watch Paw Patrol for days.
It has to go off at 10.
But, you know, I go back to that analogy of the tantrum in the supermarket. We have to admit that these kids are stupid.
Yep.
They're just stupid. When we talk about the history of protests and all that stuff, you know, it from far away, we make them sound heroic.
Nope.
But when you see it up front, you go, my God, these are morons.
Yeah.
The dumbest people on the planet. You can no longer virtue signal by saying you're going to Columbia or Harvard. It just shows you're an idiot.
But the sad part about it is if the numbers are changing, they're having an impact
yeah.
in
but,
America.
But I think this while we're talking about this, what's actually happening on the ground in the Israel-Gaza conflict is there's almost a ceasefire on the table that's likely to happen, and nobody in the media is covering it. Instead, we're covering 60 students.
Well, at the same time, the International Criminal Court wants to arrest Israelis, and we better step up and do something about that.
Coming up, outrageous video shows a New York DA demanding some VIP treatment after getting pulled over.
When you're facing what he's drinking,
the world is on fire.
She prosecutes the law and she feels like she's above it. Upstate New York District Attorney Sandra Dooley is weathering a storm of outrage after berating a police officer who tried to pull her over for driving 20 miles per hour over the speed limit. Instead of complying with the cop, Dooley drove to her home where the police officer's body camera captured this interaction.
Ma'am, come outside. You can't just go inside. This is a traffic stop. Here's your phone back.
I understand the law better than you.
What is the reason you're so against what I'm doing? I'm doing my job. You say you're a DA?
I am the DA.
Okay.
Okay, let me get you my badge.
Just don't understand the hostility towards me. I'm doing my job.
No, you're being a
How am I being a
I am the DA of Monroe County.
I understand that, but that doesn't give you a right to go 55 and a 35.
You know what? If you give me a traffic ticket, that's fine. I'm the one who prosecutes it, okay? Just go ahead and do it. Go ahead. Then just write me the I really don't care.
Dooley is now apologizing.
What I did was wrong. No excuses. I take full responsibility for my actions. I fell short of the values I've held for my entire 33-year career. I didn't treat this officer with the respect that he deserved. I had just come from work. I was dealing with three homicides that occurred over the weekend. I watched a video where an innocent cab driver was executed. And I was still reeling from a frightening medical concern that my husband received that afternoon. But we all have bad days and stress, and it was wrong for me to take it out on an officer who was simply doing his job.
She's facing a state inquiry into her behavior. New York Governor Hochul referring the DA to a commission that investigates prosecutors' conduct. I've waited all day to find out what the judge thinks about this. Judge.
Okay. The sad part about this is if she was a good DA, she blew it. I understand she was the DA in Monroe County in New York, and I was the DA in Westchester. I had a very similar job. First of all, she put herself and her whole career in the hands of a Democrat governor who is political, who can remove her from office once Letitia James gets her hands on her. You can laugh all you want, but that's going to be the end result, Richard. Now, the first thing she did was she lied. She told the cops that she didn't know he was pulling her over. He said, what do you mean? I was right behind you with my lights and sirens. She said there were other cars around. But then later in the same interview, I watched the whole thing. She says, yeah, he was right behind me. He was trying to pull me over. She also says, I am the DA, and she calls the chief of police. How dare you? That is the dumbest thing you could do. By calling the chief of police, you probably invited a grand jury investigation into everything you've ever done, and you deserve it. You know why? Because you berated a cop. And DAs and cops work together every day to pursue the mission of law enforcement. So that's disgusting in itself. And she's so egocentric. Just tell them it's me. Just tell them it's me. I'm the DA. Nobody cares. And your apology is ridiculous. You never say I violated the law when your apology. You never say I went 20 miles per hour above the speed limit. And I looked at it. The cop chased her for a half a mile at this 55 miles an hour. She's in a residential zone. He could have arrested her, threw her on the hood of that car, put her in cuffs and taken her in. But she's acting as though I'm too important for this. And you know what? If the homicides bother you, get another job. Be a social worker. Okay? You either can deal with it or you can't. And I am disgusted with her because she ruined her career and there was no reason to do it.
Greg, she made a mistake also in her apology. You never say, I apologize, but here's all the things of why I should be absolved from my apology.
Yeah. Also, you know, never say, do you know who I am? I mean, luckily for me, I never have to say that. Usually when I'm pulled over, they immediately recognize me and they go, oh my God, Mr. Gutfeld, I'm so sorry. And then I take the pictures and everything works out. But I mean, I think, you know what it is? This sort of thing crosses all party lines. It kind of just like when maybe you did catch her on a bad day, but also, you know, probably if she knew that she was being filmed, she would have acted differently. So that's how she was acting when she didn't think she was being filmed. So I think she had those crazy eyes and she was just like, yeah, it was like, I just imagine her being somebody that sits in front of me at a concert wearing a giant hat. Mm-hmm. Or somebody who's on the phone all the way to when it's boarding, when the plane's taking off and won't get off the phone. It just has that sense of I have different rules for myself than the rules you have.
I have a one strike rule for people who are rude to waiters, police, and she is out.
So death penalty.
Yep.
Yeah. I agree.
Pretty much.
So I got pulled over last week and I knew it was immediately that he got me speeding. I pull right over. He comes up, and the first thing I say is, "I'm so sorry, officer."
Right.
He goes, "Do you know how fast you were going?" I said, "47." He goes, "50." I'm like, "Ah." He goes, "The speed limit's 25." I'm like, "Ah."
Oh.
And he goes, "You know, license and registration." So I go, "Waters," and I reached. No, I'm kidding. I almost did that, but I just reach into the glove and I get the license and registration. But I have it in a wallet that keeps the PBA cards in there.
Oh,
so you have to give him the PBA cards in the same container as the license and registration. You know what he says? He goes, "Can you just take the license and registration out of there, please?"
That's
right. And then he looks at the PBA. He goes, "Where'd you get this from?" Because it had a name on the back. And I go, let me see." And then I was like, "Oh yeah, this guy does security for me." And he goes, "Well, where does he work?" I go, "I don't know. I think he's retired." He goes, "So you don't know?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Do you have any points on your license?" I go, "I hope not." He goes, "All right." He goes to run my stuff. He comes back. He goes, "Waters." So it was good.
Did he give you the ticket?
No.
You can pull it over a lot, Jesse.
I'm not sure if this was the best story.
Yeah, you know what, Jesse?
Listen, it was a...
Richard, give you the last
free
word.
Free pass.
Yeah.
Listen, the reason why I laugh, Judge, because I don't think it matters what party she belongs to, right? I think if it was a Republican governor, Republican attorney general, I think they should have also thrown the book at her. Because in the end of the day, there's a lot of reasons why people out there watching this program have a problem with the justice system, because folks like her get to say, "Do you know who I am? I'm not a DA, I'm the DA, and thus I'm above the law." And I think that's part of the problem when there's literally a whole swath of the country that when they get pulled over by the police, they're having a completely different experience than she is when she drives all the way home, saunters into her garage and says, "Well, let me just call the police chief." A lot of people don't even have the time to do all of that when they get pulled over by the police. So she should have gotten the whole book thrown at her. And I'm happy she's being investigated. And I think her apology means nothing because she was able to get all the way into her garage to begin with.
Can I ask the judge a quick question?
Yeah.
Okay, let's say you're getting pulled over, but you're close to home. Like, how far can you drive to get home?
Yeah. Here's the thing. If, first of all, it was a half a mile. That was far too much. You know, if she in any way indicated that she knew he was trying to pull her over, putting her blinker on, going to the right, slowing down, she didn't do that. She's like, hey, I'm a big shot. You knew it was me. I was in a black SUV. Yeah. I'm important.
Speeding DAs, the worst. Am I right? The worst.
Okay, coming up, Jerry Seinfeld going nuclear on the extreme left and PC crap. For destroying
Watch
comedy.
Your mouth, Dana.
I'm quoting him. Jesus save me, blue jean baby, born in the USA.
Trailer park, truck stop, faded little map dots, New York. Hello, Ghostbusters.
No laughs for you. Jerry Springer, who used to be the king of television comedy and yet an iconic comedian, believes it's unlikely that series like Seinfeld would emerge in today's TV landscape because of political correctness.
Nothing really affects comedy. People always need it. They need it so badly, and they don't get it. You just expect it. There'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap. And people worrying so much about offending other people.
Greg?
Well, you know, he is right. It's when you look at sitcoms today, you don't feel like you're going to relax and laugh. You feel like you're going to be lectured or educated. It's like one big long The More You Know commercial. You know, everything's a special episode. It's like they took a Benetton ad and then they repurposed it as a skit. But he has to realize wokeism is not killing all comedy. It's alive and well. I mean, there are plenty of comedians, Tim Dillon, Joe Rogan, Shane Gillis, Dave Chappelle. There's like 20 of these guys, and they're all excelling because they're fearless and they're free from the constraints. Meanwhile, you look at like Howard Stern and Jimmy Kimmel, who've served their testicles on a platter to the woke beast in the hopes that they will eat around them.
But they don't.
But they don't.
Dana, in part of the interview, that's what he talks about. He says how you get good comedy now is in stand-up versus sitcom. Do you think that's true?
I absolutely do. And I think that he knows it and he cares about it. And he's trying to say, like, raising the alarm bells. Last week, we did a story about how he said the movie industry is dying, probably because it's too long. And there's just things are changing through technology. But there's also, if you go back to 2015, 2016, it was right during that presidential election cycle. Donald Trump was at an event, and I remember watching it, and he said, political correctness is killing this country. And it gets a standing ovation. This is at the very beginning when he was running. And I thought, people are picking up on this, and they're seeing it, and they're bummed about it. The other thing is, in the New York Times today, there's an op-ed by a professor who says that they're actually a liberal person, but they teach literature. And that they're shocked that how many students are like, I can't believe he wrote that. I can't believe their character was so insensitive. This shouldn't be allowed. And it's preposterous. And this was a liberal professor saying, we have a problem here. Art is not supposed to make you feel comfortable. You feel uncomfortable so that you laugh and that you can, like, have a human release about something.
Jesse, what do you think?
Talk about human release. There's medical benefits to comedy.
Yeah.
I went on WebMD today.
Oh, that's big.
You can take this to the bank. Stimulates organs, stimulates circulation, reduces stress and anxiety. Multiple medical benefits from laughter. And maybe that's why the country's in a mess. It's because every time you turn on network TV in primetime, it's not funny. Have you ever heard of any of these network sitcoms? They call them comedies. So Help Me Todd? Extended Family? Abbott Elementary.
I love Abbott Elementary.
Of course you like it.
It's a great show. It's one of the most popular shows in the country.
It's not funny. No one's heard of it.
Have you even watched it?
No.
Exactly. It's not bad.
It's a really funny show.
The last good network comedy in primetime, Modern Family. Because there was gay jokes, okay? There was ethnic humor. There was jokes about an old rich white guy marrying a Spanish immigrant. That stuff kills.
Stop while you're ahead, Jesse. Stop while you're ahead. So where I will agree, I'll take things that I agree with him on. I do think comedy is supposed to be funny. And I think it's supposed to open up your lane of thinking. I also think Abbott Elementary is a good show. Shout out to Shirley Ralph.
What do you think? All I know is I want to laugh more. I'm tired of this country that everybody's at each other's throats. I mean, road rage, all this craziness on the campus. And it's not like it hasn't happened before. Things like this have happened before. But the pandemic, we came out of it feeling totally controlled. And then we find out that the vaccine was a bunch of nonsense. Sue me. And at this point, all I want to do is, they will. All I want to do is laugh again. I'm happy to laugh at myself. Make a joke about me. You know what?
Really?
Saturday Night Live did for 3 years. Yeah. I thought it was hysterical. We need to laugh.
I wouldn't make a joke about that color, but I happen to like it.
The color's fabulous.
I look like a canary.
She made the joke herself. We would laugh about the next segment, but we can't. Coming up. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is responding to critics about after she reveals that she once killed her dog.
Hi, I'm William Devane.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem defending herself after revealing in her upcoming memoir that she once killed a dog. Noem deeming the 14-month-old pup named Cricket as, quote, untrainable, dangerous, and less than worthless as a hunting dog after it apparently attacked a local family's chickens, eventually taking the pooch to a gravel pit where she shot and killed it. Dana, you grew up on a farm. The defense is, hey, this happens all the time on farms. On farms, do you go around just killing innocent little puppies?
No, but I do know that there are some ranchers and farmers, they have to make tough decisions sometimes. Like if a horse breaks its leg, you got to put it down. Or like in this situation, if a dog bites somebody, you got to make a tough decision. If the chickens are getting harassed on the neighbor's yard, then maybe you have to make a decision. I think that when you do that, though, it's often more in sadness than in anger. Mm. And in the way that it's written in the book, it does sound like she basically hated the dog, and so it caused her more problems. The other thing is, everybody gets a choice of what to put in their book. Mm-hmm. And this was a story she put out there. Initially, her team said, oh, this is just proof that they're out to get Kristi Noem. The liberals are out to get her. And then when it evolved, they were like, well, let me further explain. This is what happens in ranch life. Just the judgment on the PR side of things could make you wonder. But I don't know. I mean, when you read the book through and that doesn't like raise a red flag, you might need a different editor.
I think, Judge, there's a story behind the story. The story about killing the puppy was already out there. And so she wanted a vice signal ahead of time to try to control it because she knew that it could ruin her chances.
Well, what's interesting is she said that she shot Cricket after the book was published. She said she shot the puppy Cricket 20 years ago. But I think the whole thing reeks of desperation. Mm-hmm. I think you have a woman here who desperately wants to be vice president and ultimately president. And so she says, I can be tough like a man. How can I be tough like a man? I can kill a puppy. But you know, the hate that and Dana references, she said this puppy ruined the hunt by chasing pheasants and having the time of her life.
Yes.
What? I have four rescues and I have a puppy. I got to tell you, you know, what she's done is she's sabotaged herself, whether or not it was to, you know, buttress what was coming down the road. But she also managed to unite the right and the left because America, if nothing else, we are dog lovers. Mm-hmm. And don't tell me you shot a pup because it wasn't used to hunting. You know, maybe you're not a good teacher.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a problem. And this whole thing with the chickens, you know, were the chickens dead? Was your dog on their property? Should you have had your dog on a leash? Should your farm have been fenced? I could go on and on because I love dogs.
You know, Jesse, the only thing I could say on her defense is at least she didn't eat the dog.
Yeah,
like President Hussein Obama.
Right. She shot the dog. Obama ate it. What's worse?
Well, actually, shooting the dog was pretty bad.
You know it's true.
Yes. The dog was having a time of his life, which is now an actual accurate statement. It was the last time he had.
Look, man, I have a cat, and we're debating whether or not we ethically euthanize her. She's sick.
She's sick.
And so it's like the debate around ethically euthanizing is taking us weeks to make. And
cat
she
guy.
just
This woman, her daughter got off the bus.
I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she did it.
The daughter got off the bus and says,
there's a lot of cat lovers out there. Yeah. Tell me, listen, write in. Tell Jesse he's wrong. There are a lot of cat lovers.
Good luck with that, Richard.
They're out there.
Jesse, are you going to skate out of this?
Yeah.
I think you should.
I'm skating.
Yes, I'm waters.
Well, I don't think people will be fetching her book anytime soon. One more thing is up next.
Play in my brain, no cocaine.
Progressive. Time now for one more thing, Greg.
All right, tonight we got a great Monday show for you. Julia Badadas! Winston Marshall, remember Mumford and Sons? No, Cat Tip.
Winston Marsalis.
No, nope, you're an idiot.
You spelled the name
Waylon
wrong.
Marshall.
It's Marshall. And is Tyrus on tonight?
I didn't see him today.
He's not on tonight.
He's not in the office.
He's not in the office. Yeah. Whoever sent you this is fired.
Fired.
Yeah.
All right. Dana, you're up.
Good thing you're not cricket. Okay. over the weekend, so I was at the airport, and I run into this kid. He's 11 years old. Listen to him. His name is Sasha. He was in the airport after just winning first place in the Music International Grand Prix in New York City, and he was awarded audience favorite out of 600 competitors. Give him a like, give him a follow. You can find him there at Sasha and Music and Magic. I will tweet it so you have more. Preening on Politics with Michael Allen of Beacon Global Strategies tonight.
All right. Record-setting turnout at Vero Beach. The book signing was insane. 11 hours.
No.
An 11-hour book
no
signing.
Way.
Thousands and thousands of people.
Oh, my.
And God. I didn't take a single break. Skipped lunch, took pictures with everybody.
You didn't take a pee break.
No, you're lying.
I swear to God.
You go to the bathroom.
I swear to God, I went to the bathroom twice. It was amazing. And tonight we have Johnny on the beach doing a quiz in Palm. Richard, Judge, I'm very, very sorry. We do have to go.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, in these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.